The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy, and he will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Nothing will be impossible with God. There's a well-known quote I'll share right now from a poem by Mary Oliver. It goes, "Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life?" You see that quote on inspirational posters and graduation cards and college entrance essays. Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Now, don't get me wrong, I love Mary Oliver's poetry. And this is meant to be hopeful and invigorating. It's meant to help us see clearly that life is worth taking hold of and jumping into. There's a reason it's on inspirational posters. But what are we supposed to do when the plans for our wild and precious lives, when those plans fail? What do we do with our lives when our plans are interrupted? This is a question that a pair of my friends had to wrestle with a number of years ago. They have three children, all of whom are mostly grown up now, out of the house. And trust me, they are great parents. And like any parents, like every parent in history probably, these two had dreams and hopes and plans for their kids, right? Who doesn't? Even those of us who want to let our kids lead their own lives, we don't want to micromanage them into success, right? We all harbor hopes and dreams and plans. We want our kids to be healthy. We hope that they'll find meaning and joy in whatever they do. We hope that they will love and be loved. Those are every parent's plans for kids. Well, one day, a number of years back, these two parents were deeply grieved to learn that the plan that they had just wasn't panning out. They learned one day that their oldest child had become addicted to heroin. And the road through that addiction was so hard. It meant driving to the big city where she lived in her apartment to sit with her for hours to make sure she wasn't using. It meant time in and out of rehab. It meant relapses when their backs were turned. It meant time in jail, time wondering where she was out on the streets. What do we do with the wild and precious lives we didn't plan to lead? There's this kind of edge to this little inspirational quote that suggests that if we are not living the lives that we planned out, that are wild and precious, that we're failing. That if our plans are interrupted, then we've got a problem. And this is the story of Jesus's birth. Make no mistake, it's an interruption to the plan. Mary's at least, right? Luke's gospel tells the most beautiful of all Christmas stories, right? Next week, we're going to hear about shepherds in the fields and stars in the sky and a child swaddled and lying in a manger. That's the gospel of Luke for you, and it's beautiful. But this week, we get an interruption into Mary's plans, because what's not mentioned in our gospel is that there would be huge consequences for this unmarried girl discovered to be pregnant. Mary could be stoned to death by her family to preserve their honor. That's just kind of what's going on in the culture at the time. And some part of me has to believe that this is going through her head when the angel Gabriel comes to her and announces that she's going to become mother to the Son of God. She says, "How can this be? I'm still a virgin. How can this be? I didn't plan this. I didn't ask for this. I didn't do this. Gabriel, you're interrupting my wild and precious life's plans." I think this is where the story of Jesus' birth can be so familiar to us. Despite our wildest and most precious plans, well, a bumper sticker comes to mind when I think about what happens sometimes, right? So I think the bumper sticker says something along the lines of, stuff happens, right? I have to imagine that's exactly how my friends felt when they learned that their daughter, whose addiction they had learned to grieve but live with over the years, I have to imagine this is how they felt when they learned now later that their daughter was pregnant. She was in county jail when she found out, and her partner was long gone. And for these parents, we can only imagine that this was just heartbreak landing on heartbreak, right? Because what parents become grandparents for the first time under these circumstances? Who plans on that? But this is maybe the problem with plans. Sometimes they cloud out the thing that God is trying to do right in front of us, right in our midst. Because over the months that followed, together as a family, this group of people decided that the best thing for the child would be if they gave it up for adoption. The plan was to make a clean break, right? To let this child live his life in the loving arms of another caring family and not have to deal with another family caught up in a cycle of addiction. And these parents and their child, they thought, this is the right thing to do. It means more heartbreak, but that's the plan. So as a family, they began interviewing possible adoptive couples. And somewhere along the line, out of a number of couples, they met this same-sex couple who had their own plans for a baby disrupted. And so they all get together one day, share their stories, get to know one another, and it's not long before everybody can tell that this is a really good fit. And there comes a moment when it looks like everything is about to go according to plan, right? Here's a great family for the little baby boy. Okay, we've got this. Don't say anything dumb. Stick to the plan. And just then, when it looks like things are going according to plan, one of the women of this couple says to my friends, she says, "Look, if we're going to do this, this baby boy will need all the love he can get." And she goes on, she says, "I think he's going to need a particular kind of love, love from his grandparents, you." She says, I know that's not the plan, but we want you to stay in his life as grandparents. Would you do that? Would you do that for him? Would you do that for us?" And Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord." When their daughter gave birth to this healthy baby boy, all of their plans were shattered, and these new grandparents said, "Here we are, baby boy." And there, somewhere out of the ashes of broken and wild and precious plans, this new and unexpected family was born. And that is the story of Advent. That's the story of the interruption of God into our wildest and most precious plans as they are failing and shattered on the ground. All along the way through Advent, we've heard the words of the prophets like Isaiah crying out, saying things like, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight a highway for our God." Well, the wilderness that we've been talking about is the wilderness of our shattered dreams. It's the wilderness of heartbreak. It is the desert of depression that we feel when our lives take a turn in a direction that we would have never asked for or expected. And in that wilderness, in that interruption, Mary says, "Here I am." And that would be a beautiful enough story, right? That would be a beautiful end to that story. Advent would be good enough right there. The story of a young girl obedient to love, a person who is faithful even when it could spell disaster and trouble. But that's not the end of the story. Because Mary holds in her body, in her womb, God's flesh and blood response to a world of failed plans. Mary says, "Here I am." And without batting an eye, God answers back, "Yes, and here I am, Emmanuel, God with us." God with us when our plans fail. God with us when our plans are interrupted. And there, among the brokenness, among the ashes of the plans for the wild and precious lives we would all love to lead, God with us as new life springs forth and is born. Thanks be to God. Amen.